The anonymous caller to the New York Times on Thursday afternoon made it clear that he didn't want to disclose who had written the internet virus. He just wanted to let the Times know that the person who had written it was a well-intentioned soul who had made a terrible mistake in the code. The switchboard first routed the call to the paper's national news desk.
I know something about the virus that's going around, said the caller.
What virus? The editor sounded confused.
The computer virus that's crashing computers all over the country.
Give me your number and someone will call you back, said the editor. The editor gave the message and a telephone number to John Markoff, the paper's computer reporter. Markoff had already heard about the incident. He had received a call at 10 that morning from Cliff Stoll, the Berkeley astronomer who had gumshoed his way to the bottom of the West German hacker case a year earlier. Stoll, who was now working at the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, told Markoff he had been up the night battling the program, which had swamped 50 of the center's machines. The reporter then spent the morning calling universities and research centers to see if they, too, had been infected. One of his calls was to an occasional contact at the National Security Agency. Markoff had called the NSA in the past on security-related stories, and he thought his contact there might tell him something about what was going on. But his contact wasn't there, and his call wasn't returned. Nobody Markoff spoke with at universities, corporations, or military sites seemed to have any inkling of the program's origin. Theories ranged from prankster to foreign agent, so the anonymous call to the Times was intriguing. When Markoff returned the call to a number in the Boston area, it was immediately clear to the reporter that the caller, who would identify himself only as Paul, knew a great deal about the program and how it was written. The excited-sounding young man said he was a friend of the program's brilliant author. The author, Paul said, had meant to write a harmless virus, but had made a small error that caused the program to multiply around the network. By Friday, Paul and Markoff had talked on the phone several times. Paul referred to the author only as Mr. X. The two went back and forth about what kind of trouble the program's author might be in. By this time, news of the program, which by now was being described alternatingly as a virus or a worm, had been on the front pages of newspapers and on the nightly television news around the nation. It was the first wholesale assault ever on the nation's computer systems. More disturbingly, military computers had been infiltrated. The program had been contained, but there was still no full assessment of the damage it had done. Then Paul made a mistake. During one conversation, instead of saying Mr. X, he slipped and referred to his friend by the initials RTM. Markoff was close enough to the computer scene to recognize RTM, in lowercase, as a likely computer login. After hanging up, he phoned Cliff Stoll, with whom he had been trading information all morning. From his computer at home, Stoll used a network white pages directory and Finger, a utility program that acts as a computerized directory assistance tool, giving users limited information about others on the network. When Stoll fingered RTM on the Harvard University computers, he retrieved the name Robert Tappan Morris, identified as a graduate student at Cornell University. A phone number and an address were included. Stoll called the Times. Now Markoff had a name, but he still didn't have a story. Without an independent confirmation, he couldn't be sure if Paul was telling the truth or if the RTM the caller was referring to was the same person as the RTM Stoll had just found on the internet directory. Markoff called the Cornell telephone number. Nobody answered. Late that afternoon, the NSA finally rang back. The caller was Bob Morris, a computer security expert who was the chief scientist at the agency's National Computer Security Center.
"I think I know the name of the person who wrote the virus," Markoff said.
"Who is it?" Morris shot back. Markoff bridled.
"I'm not going to tell you. You're the computer police."
A strained conversation followed, and before long it became clear that Morris knew exactly who had written the program. In fact, the man from the security agency appeared to know more about the event and its perpetrator than the reporter did. Finally, Markoff said, "I think the program was written by Robert Tappan Morris." "You're right," Morris answered, giving the paper the confirmation it needed. They talked for a while longer. It had been a chaotic day of sifting through dozens of sometimes contradictory reports on the event. Markoff still wasn't certain what to do with this new information.
If the program had been written by a Cornell graduate student, how was it that the computer security experts in the National Security Agency already knew that? What was going on anyway? Just as he was about to hang up, he had a sudden thought. "Isn't that a funny coincidence?" he said. "You both have the same name." Without missing a beat, Morris replied, "That's no coincidence. He's my son."